book of 1 Samuel, chapter 23. I'm so thankful to be able to be with you this morning. Very thankful that Pastor Rick allowed me to present the message this morning. I'm happy to have with me here today a friend of mine that I met back in college when I went to Midwestern Baptist College, and we became friends there. And it's Greg Bensnyder, who's sitting down here. He heard that I was going to be in Michigan. We haven't seen each other for several years, and he heard that I was going to be here at First Baptist Church, and so he called me yesterday and said, I think I'd like to come if I can, and he made it, and I'm very thankful that he's with me today. I have to tell you this real briefly here. We had a very funny experience that happened to us when we were in college together. We used to go calling from the church, knocking on people's doors, inviting them to come to church, asking them if they were saved. I had just met Greg. Now, his name is Greg Bensnyder. I had just been getting used to his name, and we went calling, and I remember we knocked on a person's door, and it was our policy to always introduce ourselves when someone would come to the door so they'd kind of know who we were and that kind of thing. And I knocked on the door, and someone came to the door. It was my turn to do the talking, so I said, hello, my name is Gary Mayberry, and this is Greg, and I had forgotten his last name. And so I made up a name, and I said, this is Greg Steinbecker. And he looked at me, and I could see he was fighting back laughter, and I realized what I had done wrong, and I was kind of trying to fight it back, too, and we got through that whole experience, left, went out and got into the car and almost laughed our heads off because I told Greg, I'm sorry, man, but I forgot your last name, so I had to do some fast thinking and make something up real quick here. I didn't want anybody thinking I was standing at a door with a guy I didn't even know. So, praise the Lord. So I'm glad that Brother Greg is here with us today. But now back to 1 Samuel chapter 23, and what I have in the short amount of time that I have left is to present a story to you. When I preach, I like to usually preach in giving illustrations from a story that the Bible covers. I know that this is a good Bible-believing church. I know. I've listened to Pastor Rick preach several times, so I know he's a good gospel-preaching preacher. And so I know that you folks know a lot about the Old Testament stories. Well, this particular account in chapter 23 of the book of 1 Samuel is one of those situations that when you read the Bible, you have to really think through a passage to kind of get the big picture of what's going on. Now, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's difficult to see what's happening because you have to have a lot of background information. And in this particular case, this chapter in the book of 1 Samuel deals with the life of David. Now, this is before David becomes king in Israel. The interesting thing about this story, and I'm just going to give you a background of this because I don't have time to read the whole chapter for you, but the whole chapter is what we want to cover today. I want to give you now the background behind the story. David is a young man. He has been anointed by the prophet Samuel to become the next king of Israel. The king that is presently in place is King Saul. King Saul was the very first king that they installed within that political government in Israel. So Saul and David started out pretty good. You remember the story, of course, about David and Goliath. Paul David and Saul became very, very close friends at first. But the interesting thing about that is that Saul began to understand certain things that started to creep up and pop up in his relationship with David that showed Saul that maybe David was more preferred than he was. Now, you know the story, no doubt, that King Saul messed up by not obeying God. And the prophet Samuel had to one day come to King Saul and say to him, "It is better to obey than to sacrifice." Saul was supposed to do a particular thing with the enemies that they were fighting at that time, and he disobeyed what God had told him to do. And because of his disobedience to God, and this could apply to any of us, because of his disobedience to God, he had to therefore watch very carefully what he did next. Unfortunately, with Saul, he kept going downhill. He started getting worse and worse as a king. The day came when Samuel then secretly anointed David to be the next king. Saul got word of that. And from that moment on, what happened was that Saul was out to kill David. He tried to hunt him down like an animal. He was going to eliminate his life, because what was going to happen is that David was going to take Saul's place, and Saul was not about to let that happen if he could help it. So that's kind of the background situation that we see when we get to chapter 23 of the book of 1 Samuel. David is on the run. He has created a small army of men, very powerful men. And they were men that were true to David. He wasn't king yet. And David and his men were on the run, running from King Saul. Every chance that Saul got, he would try to find David so that he could eliminate him. He had to eliminate the competition. And so in this particular case here, we begin to see that David is in some very, very dire situations here. Very difficult. Saul is getting closer. David is trying to maintain a right spirit in his relationship of respect to King Saul. But it's becoming more difficult because Saul is becoming more difficult. And so what we see here in this particular case is that David and his mighty men have been on the run, but they come to a certain territory within Israel. And they are going to help protect the residents of that particular territory. Now, I want you to see from this message this morning is this. God realizes that all of us face situations in our lives that are very chaotic at times. Difficult times come our way. We don't always welcome them. We don't want them. But it's going to happen. We will at times have what we could call enemies in our lives that will try to destroy our peace and happiness in Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture helps us to see how that relates to even us today. Notice, if you will, in verse 1, I'll read a few verses here to kind of give you that background. Notice it says, "Then they told David," remember, David's on the run with his mighty men, "told David, saying, 'Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors.' Therefore David required of the Lord, saying," or inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Stopping there just a moment, keeping in mind now is what David is trying to do while he's on the run for his very life is to help these other communities that are in danger of being overcome by enemy territory and enemies of the country. In this particular case, it was the Philistines. So David is trying to do a good thing while King Saul is trying to do a very bad thing, and that is find David and eliminate him. So David's dealing with this. He says to God, "Shall I go and help this people?" And God says, "Yeah, go." Look at verse 3, "And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah? How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Why were they afraid? Because Saul was after them. So now they're saying to David, hey, we've been afraid. Saul's after us. Now you want us to go against the Philistines? Notice what it says next in verse 4. Then David, and here's the point I want you to see, inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hands. One of the important things I want you to see from this so far in this passage, in this biblical story, is that God wants people who will inquire of what his will is for their lives. In other words, we should become people of prayer. God does answer prayer. Some of you would not be here today if God had not answered someone or even your prayer. I would not be here today if God had not answered some prayers. So God answers prayer. And David was a man that sought God in the difficult times. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You're going to have some difficult times. It's just going to happen. They're going to be there. And you need to learn to inquire or pray for God to give you the strength that you need during those difficult times. He will give you the strength. Notice now in verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Now this guy was from the priestly line, so he had what we would call today a religious object, the ephod, actually. And so he was bringing that with him. That was kind of a good sign. When you're having a difficult time, that would be like the preacher coming to visit you and help you and give a word of prayer, have a word of prayer with you. And so here comes Abiathar to talk to David. And in verse 8, and Saul called, in verse 7, I'm sorry, and it was told Saul, now remember Saul's a bad guy here, that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Can't you just hear old Saul? Ha, ha, I got him now, man, he trapped himself. He went into that city with all barred in there. I got him now. I got him now. Notice what it says in verse 8. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Now, the ephod was part of the priestly garment. Notice then he says in verse 10, then said David, O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Once again, we see, what did David do? He inquired of the Lord. He's praying. He's a prayer. He is one who believes that God answers prayer. Do you believe God answers prayer?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord, because he does. So keep praying. Pray on and pray on. Oh, man, I got to hurry with this. One of the other things that I want you to see then, and there's a passage of Scripture. You know how you read Scripture sometimes, and there's just a few words, and they just pop, man. They just stand out in your mind, and it's like, wow, that was for me. That's for me. I'm coming to that in just a minute. But the rest of the story goes that David is once again being sought by Saul. I'm going to really cut the story short. I hope you read the rest of the chapter sometime today. But what happens now is that David realizes he's being sought by King Saul. But guess what? You remember what the Bible says? King Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan. And guess what? Jonathan liked David. In fact, they were very close friends. So secretly, Jonathan, according to this passage, finds out where David is, realizing that his father is after David, goes to David and encourages him in the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood where David was hiding and strengthened his hand in God. How many times has someone, a dear brother or sister, come to your side in that moment of difficulty, in that moment of sorrow, and strengthened you just by their very words and presence? This is what Jonathan did for David. What this passage teaches us is that we are to be people that will indeed be encouragers. The other thing I want you to see from this particular story is this. God wants us to be persistent. Hard times are coming. Hard times are upon us. Do we just give up? Do we just throw our hands up and say, oh, well, I guess woe is me. I'm undone. I can't do anything. That's not God's way. God is able. God wants us to be persistent. God wants us to keep on keeping on. Verse number 14, to show you that point, David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. David was persistent. Brothers and sisters, be persistent. Keep on keeping on. God is not dead. God is very much alive. He is for us. He is with us. Be persistent. Keep on. And then as we read on, we see something else. After Jonathan leaves David, he's encouraged him. He's gone now. David has to go on, and he and his mighty men, get this picture if you will, are coming up to a mountainous area. And on this mountain, they're on one side of the mountain, but because Saul has found out, he got word of it somehow, that where David is, he brings all his men, and they're coming to get David so that they can eliminate him. And he's on the other side of the mountain. So we have David and his men back here on this side of the mountain. And we have Saul and his people on the other side of the mountain. And Saul was on his way around the mountain to eliminate David. And something very special happens. And this is the passage that has stuck out in my mind so vividly. If you notice, if you will, please look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Seah Hamelikoth, which is rock of escape. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds in En-Gedi. So here's the gist of the story, and this is the passage that really stuck out in me. There came a messenger. And what we see here is that God intervened into a situation that looked hopeless and sent a messenger to inform Saul that he was going to have to get back to help save the people or be destroyed by the Philistines. Imagine that. Both are about to meet each other around the mountain. Now, I don't think that is where that song, "They'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes," ever existed. But that's what it looked like was going to happen. And here comes this little messenger and says to Saul, "You've got to come back. We've got a problem in town." And Saul leaves. See how God's divine intervention works in a person's life. God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. And God will bless and protect His children. So just leaving that where it is, notice these points quickly. From this passage of Scripture, please, if you get a chance this afternoon, read that whole chapter again. And hopefully God, through the Holy Spirit, will bring some of these points back to you. Notice, first of all, that we are to be people of prayer. We looked at that. David prayed and asked for God's help. Notice, secondly, we are to be persistent. Verse 14 says that. Don't give up when the going gets tough. Keep on keeping on for God. Thirdly, be an encourager. You never know what your encouragement will do for somebody. There have been testimony after testimony of people who are at the very end of their rope when someone came along with a word of encouragement and helped them get through the day. God will use you if you let Him. Be an encourager. And then notice at the very end, what God wants us to be is a messenger. God needs us to be His messengers. I want to close this morning with this testimony. In May 1965, God sent a messenger my way. It was a young man that I went to high school with back in Omaha, Nebraska, where I grew up. He said to me, "Hey, Gary, how about coming to church with me Sunday?" And I said, "I don't go to church." And he said, "Well, come on." He said, "You'll like it. It's a good church. We got a nice group of young people there." So I said, "Okay, I'll go with you." That day in May was a day that changed my life forever. I went to church with him. His name was Ron Beck. I haven't seen him since. I graduated from high school. But he was God's messenger to get me to that G5. Another messenger came my way. I was in church, and the sweet Holy Spirit of God said to me, after listening to a gospel message and setting in an invitation, inviting people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that messenger, the sweet Holy Spirit of God, said to me, "Gary, you need to get saved today, or you're going to die and go to hell." I looked at my friend that was sitting next to me, who was the first messenger, and I said, "Are you saved?" And he shook his head, and I said, "I'm not." And he said, "Let's go." And we walked down the aisle, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that day. And life has never been the same since. What I have found out that day has stayed with me all these many years. Through the good times, through the bad times, God has spoken, God has moved, and God has shown me these various points that I have pointed out to you today. What does God want us to be? That little phrase in verse 27 could be your phrase. But there came a messenger, and that messenger could change your life forever. It could make all the difference in the world. The messenger of the Holy Spirit of God telling you today to be saved. And if you're already saved, the message of chapter 23 of 1 Samuel are these various ways that we should keep on keeping on for God. For God will always keep on for us. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings. I thank you for this opportunity to present your word. I pray, dear God, that you will speak to hearts. Help us all, Father, to realize what you have for us. And Father, we thank you that you are God. There's nothing too hard for you. You will always be with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Rick?